everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Grey's Academy. Is it a normal episode? It's not, but we're here. We're going to do it anyways because it's an in-between episode. We wanted to take a week off of Grey's because it's in between seasons, but we didn't want to take a week off of you guys. So here we are. I'm Kelsey.
And I'm barely Carmen, and it's a beautiful day slash night for a podcast. And before we jump in, everyone, I want to take a second and say, please, if you are listening to us for the first time or the billionth time, hit that like button, hit that subscribe button, hit that follow button, hit that share button, hit that five-star button, hit that review button, all the buttons that are there, hit them all. Be like Kelsey and just push everyone's buttons at all times. Just do it. It really helps the algorithm. We started a an ad campaign with Spotify last night at 12 o'clock in the morning, my time, well past 1 o'clock in Kelsey's time. And so that was fun getting that set up. So if you're here new for the first time, definitely hello. And if you're not here new, get someone new here. It's like a cult, right? Bring a friend.
It's exactly like that.
It's exactly like a cult. It's more like the Flying Dutchman. Okay, we're bringing souls to the ship. We're hurting souls in the good way, not the squid face kind of way. Which did we have this conversation of liking Pirates of the Caribbean is not a stamp of approval for Johnny Depp? Like, did we have this conversation after someone was like, "We're Johnny Depp, we support him.
Maybe
we don't believe in survivors."
That, and that's why someone said we were defending him. I don't know. That is a good movie, and he can still suck, and that movie can still be good.
Yeah.
Two things can be true at once.
I want to go back and watch the one with Javier Bardem? Who?
Your girlfriend Penelope Cruz.
Oh, no, I do love Penelope Cruz, though.
I know you do.
Are they the same movie?
I don't remember him being in one of those. I'm going to be so for real.
Javier Bardem?
Because I really only remember, like, the first three. I watched the other ones, but I was like, we should stop.
Well, yeah, they wrap the story up so nicely, but Disney has to get money.
Money, 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 money.
Yeah, yeah. So it's not a Pirates of the Caribbean podcast. This is barely a Grey's podcast, but I do have a new Apple podcast review that I have to read to you.
Yay.
This is, you know, I haven't quite figured out how to make this not be this way, but I tried going on to the Apple for Podcasters content creator page to try to find this answer and I still couldn't. But when I go to the ratings, if it's too long of a title,
yeah,
it cuts some of it off. So the title is, "If you don't like this podcast, you're obvi dot, dot, dot." I am imagining they're saying, "If you don't like this podcast, you're obviously wrong." It's what my truth is. But this is by Nerd Princess 314, 5 stars. "As an obsessive Grey's fan, this pod was intended for me to use to fill the void during new seasons. I had good intentions and failed spectacularly. I started this podcast 12/25/2025, Merry Christmas for those who celebrate, and currently just finished listening to the podcast that dropped on 7/9/26, almost 5 years of listening to these glorious humans in 7 months." That has to be like time travel in a weird fucking way. Kelsey,
man, we do be yapping.
We do be. they got to be listening to us on 4x speed, although we sound terrible on 4x speed if you've not listened to us like that. "Kelsey and Carmen's friendship reminds me of my friend group and the fun they had making each episode shows in every minute. That's what locks it in for me. If you want to hear two unhinged people discuss an unhinged show, this is the pod." And I feel like that encapsulates us.
Yeah, that like
perfectly.
Last sentence.
"If you want to hear two unhinged people discuss an unhinged show, this is it. This is the one." So, yeah. Thanks, Nerd Princess 314. Means a lot. So, anything new in your world that we want to talk about? Because I do have... I think what's going to happen is I'm just going to ask Kelsey questions about shit. Because someone, I don't think, sent me the promo for this episode, like the end season episode. I didn't get to watch them.
Oh, you're right. I didn't do that.
Yeah.
How was I going to do it?
I don't know.
I also don't know. Yeah,
I think at one point you were gonna either FaceTime me or you were gonna Zoom me so that you.
We were gonna like Zoom and screen share because I don't want to just give him the YouTube link because I don't want his algorithm to be giving him Gray's stuff, and I couldn't screen record it because it wouldn't grab the sound with it. But I just want him to see
I want to see how Burke was
fully
revealed
spoiled
in the,
Burke. Yeah, yeah, they just like showed him walking out of the shadow in the promo for that episode. It's like just so annoying to me that they were like, here you go. I'm like, that's not the vibe.
No, I'm glad. It's things like that. This is not the first time you've mentioned that there was a big spoiler in the promo, like prior to it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm glad I get even more insulation than you guys did when you were watching it live, which is kind of crazy to think.
Well, and also, again, like I had said last week, they announced Sandra Oh was leaving at before season 10 even started airing. So like for all of season 10, everyone knew at some point she would be leaving. And so like the last five episodes, the promos are like the final five episodes with Christina Yang. Come say goodbye to Christina Yang. Christina Yang send off. Like it was, that's how they were. That was like the spoiler that I didn't want to give because I had gone back and forth and even it had been discussed on Discord on whether or not I should like clue you in that we all were aware of that at the time.
It does feel a little fucked up.
Like, no,
it does feel a little fucked up when you are like, we need to watch it in its original viewing so that you can get the full experience. Yet you don't give me the full experience.
Well,
you pick and choose.
There are some experiences that I've created
Kelsey
for you that are
Kelsey
better.
Taketh away.
I am curating the best possible
that's fair.
Little vacuum for you to consume this show.
I need it. I need the vacuum.
I know. I need to put you in a little dome, a little bubble boy.
Yeah. Goodness. That's so funny. Yeah,
before
I'm glad.
Chit chat about other. Well, two things. Okay. First of all, they did announce that Grey's season 23. Is going to be airing this starting October. I want to say it was October 15th. There are not nearly as many episodes in the seasons anymore. Like, even though it's still like full-on network television, like it's not a 22-episode season anymore. It's like there's like six episodes from October to December, and then they'll probably be like the same amount in the spring. So they're really cutting it down. It's almost more like the shows on streaming platforms now, like 10, 12 episodes a season. It's kind of crazy. But
they
that was announced.
They speaking of like shockers like that, I guess not shockers, but because everyone knew it was going to happen. But this will be the second season without Ellen Pompeo.
Eh.
Did they do something like Scrubs where they kind of say they phase out so that she can pass the torch and that's like the whole point of it?
She's coming and going. I'll say
okay.
That.
Yeah, it's like Scrubs. That's like Scrubs. I honestly figured that doesn't feel like a spoiler to me because, again, she's the only thing that I know.
Yeah.
So I feel like that's not a spoiler for me. If you are out there and you're like, if you're out there and you are so hardcore of a Grey's Academy fan that you think that is a spoiler, actually, mad respect, message me.
I'm sorry, but nah.
Yeah.
It gets to a point, and Carmen knows this, I feel at the show at its current state in the year of 2026, like, I am still watching it, but I don't feel the passion for it that I felt in like these first 10 seasons that we're currently in, like this era of Grey's.
Well, yeah, your favorite character
still have
gone.
The bubble on him. Well, even after that, like I still feel like, you know, obviously Shonda leaving is going to be like impactful, but I think there's just a shift over time. And at a certain point, like, because I don't love it as much as I did in like the era we're currently watching, it gets to a point where I'm like, eh, whatever.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what's happening right now. I mean, I won't, but
no. In other like random TV news, Scrubs announced that their season 2 is premiering in like a week and a half.
Oh wow.
They basically said they're getting renewed and in less than 2 months or something. Maybe my sense of time is all messed up, but less than 2 months they have, I think, the first two episodes on Hulu. So they really were like striking while the iron is hot on this.
Yeah.
So good for them. It was great. The first season was great. The first reboot season was great.
Yeah. I'm glad you liked it. I've not really enjoyed a lot of different reboots that I have seen. I just think it's fine. Like, they do fine. I just think, like, they toe the line a little too much with the fan service. And I'm just like, this is not the same show anymore. And some shows are so perfectly, like, encapsulated in the time in which they aired that, like, bringing it to the current time, I'm just like, it doesn't work as well.
Yeah, that's fair.
That's my feeling, mostly on Gilmore Girls, I'll be honest. Also, like, I didn't love Fuller House. Like, I see the vision, but, like, there's something, like, sitcoms of the 90s are just not going to work now the way they worked in the 90s. Like, it's just different.
Yeah. I am a big fan of the fan service. I'm a big fan of the campy bullshit. Like, give me all of it. So, that's why I liked Book of Boba Fett, even when it was kind of a shitty show.
Yeah.
Because it was just me watching my favorite character just... I mean, he should have kept the helmet on a little bit more often. That's fine. Whatever.
Yeah. I loved the reunion they did. I know you disagree. The reunion that they did for Friends where they just got them all together and like revisited.
I don't disagree.
You had said you were mad that they didn't do like a reboot. Like you wanted it to be a reboot.
You wanted. Yeah, yeah. But I still enjoyed it. But I would have watched a whole new season of Friends.
I just think there's no way you can like rebottle what that was. And, like, again, transport it to now. Especially, like, no one films anything in front of live studio audiences anymore. And they did do that. And, like, I don't know.
It's all right. Let's see. Anything that you want to add before? Because I actually do have a question. I threw this at Kelsey right before we started recording. But do you have anything else you want to talk about really quick?
There was something else. Oh, I was going to say, let's just do a quick little, like, season 10 emotional recap. And you tell me, like, what really stands out for you and like what you loved, what you hated, what you remember at all, what you enjoyed.
I'm having a hard time thinking about what the first episode of season 10 was.
The first episode is season 10 is a good question. Let's see. At the end of season 9, that bus exploded and there was a storm and then Meredith had that baby.
Oh yeah, that was a good
so
finale.
Season 10 starts right after that with the storm. And then they have like 4 episodes in, they have to have the like fundraiser to raise money to fix the hospital. I don't see if I remember anything crazy happening in like the season premiere other than like the baby, Meredith had the baby, she's fine.
So I'll tell you from my standpoint, a couple big takeaways. The wedding with Jackson and April, obviously, right? Mm-hmm. The standing up and doing that. And what's crazy, we have not seen Matthew since.
Mm-hmm.
They
offhand said that he quit or transferred one or the other. Like,
did they really?
Yeah, they said it offhand in that episode when Stephanie kept hitting everyone with the gurneys.
Oh yeah, because she was like blind. She had like gotten laser eye surgery. Was that same episode?
No, that was a different episode. Because with the laser eye surgery, she
still with Jackson. Yeah, you're right. You're right. So, and then if Shane had his full mental breakdown, I think at one point. Did Heather die in the season too?
Well, yeah, that was the storm.
That was the storm. Yeah,
that was the season premiere. Is like they're trying to save her and they cannot. And then Weber's in the hospital for like a million
That's
episodes.
Right. And he like has his Willy Wonka moment and finally stands up and walks.
Yeah. And like he won't let them like give him a feeding tube and like Bailey isn't being aggressive enough. And yeah, there's like a lot of back and forth with that stuff. We were complaining about him being in that. Like he would, that storyline just like continued for so long. Like I was like, get this man out of this hospital bed. Yeah, Heather died. Alex's dad, that whole thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then he, like, thought he proposed to Joe, and she was like, wait, what? She didn't realize, because then he introduces her as his fiance, and she's like, I'm so sorry. What?
Yeah, that was, like, a whole, what, like, one episode arc?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I don't know that this is the best season that we've had, but it was a good season. Yeah. I don't want to let recency bias take over here. But yeah, I think I really enjoyed the storytelling of the season. I think that there were memorable moments. I enjoyed the storyline. Mm-hmm. I think I'm...
Same.
Podcast, John. I think I'm most looking forward to, not in a good way, more of like a I need to understand what's happening way of how they take the spirit of Shonda and try to bottle it and how it morphs and evolves. And it's going to be like a game of telephone of what would Shonda do over the next 13 seasons, I'm sure, where they're like, no, this is what Shonda would do. And this is what Shonda would do. This is what Shonda would do until it's so morphed into the shark is in space. That's what I imagine is going to happen. So I'm looking forward to that. But yeah, I think I enjoyed now that there is a separation, a clean fuck. A clean tear. I'm sorry, guys. A clean tear between Christina and Owen. I'm glad that's finally done. I'm so glad it's done.
Yeah, I'm also, you know, that's one of the silver linings of Christina leaving. Is it's like, hey, well, at least you don't have to watch this anymore. Like, God.
Yeah. Shane is gone, I imagine, to either full extent or partial extent. Leah is on her way out, question mark. Meredith and Derek are on the fritz. There's a lot of things that were set up in this season that I did not see coming. Weber did take too much time in the bed, though.
With the season finale, I definitely don't feel like we get a lot of big cliffhangers. We just kind of have, like, big things. Like, I guess really the cliffhanger-ish is, like,
what's going to happen with Derek and Meredith?
Yeah. Which, again, okay. So this is why one of the emails, like, I had to, like, censor myself when I was reading it. But one of the emails, the person was like, I can't believe you said that Meredith and Derek are, like, will they, won't they? Like, they're so, after they get married, they're just together. And I was like, things like this, where it's like, let me have these giant fights and, like, oh no, what's gonna happen? Like, and I'm like, it happened with the clinical trial when she, like, fucked up the clinical trial. It's just like, it just continues. And I'm like, can we, for the love of everything, just let people be together? And I know, and I'm sure I've said this before, but like in any show, specifically dramas, they're like, if characters get together, well, we have to do something to make it interesting. I'm like, no, you don't have to do, like, you can make it interesting without the interesting thing being like, will they break up?
Yeah.
Because, like, I think the best example is Parks and Rec.
With
Amy and Ben. They get married pretty early on, and they're just married and happy.
Leslie?
Yeah.
And Ben?
I do mean said, Leslie and Ben.
You
I did
said
say
her
Amy
real name.
Because, and then his character name. Yes, which does track. I did actually have a dream that I met Amy Poehler the other day. So
that'd be great.
I've been having some crazy dreams lately.
Ron Swanson was at the Cubs game that I was at a couple weeks ago. Did I tell you that?
No, you did not.
Yeah,
is he a Cubs fan?
I think he's a Cubs fan. He's from Illinois. He's from outside of Chicago. He sang the seventh inning stretch.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah. I also told the story. So I went to a White Sox game the other night with some vet partners.
Did you meet Sean Evans?
Well, different game. This is a different one. Okay. Yeah, yeah. Sean was not at this game. He will be at the one that I'll be buying tickets to shortly. But I was telling them the story because it was like kind of a close game. It was starting to get away from the White Sox, but it's the last couple of innings and one of the other guys leaves. And I was like, I just can't leave a game. And they're like,
I was thinking about this game the other day.
And they're like, yeah, you never know what's going to happen in the bottom of the ninth. And I was like, well, let me fucking tell you about a story about my air quotes best friends and how they ruined my life.
I don't even care. I would feel bad and or care if it was Like, if the White Sox had been one of the teams. But oh, it was.
If the White Sox were there, I would not have left. Yeah. I wouldn't have left the game.
It was. I couldn't even tell you who Pittsburgh was playing when we went to that game.
The New York Mets.
There you go.
So, for all of you out there who have not heard this story, I think I've told it before, maybe, but there was, we were in town for our friend Mark and Leah's wedding. Shout out Leah and Mark. And we were going, Jess and I wanted to go catch a game at the Pittsburgh Stadium, and beautiful stadium, by the way. Actually, I think it is it's my favorite stadium.
It was a really cool stadium.
And Kelsey and Michael had never been to a baseball game before. And
that's not true. I have been to a Braves game, but it was a million years ago.
But Michael had not.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're like, let's go. It'll be great. It'll be all of our first time at the stadium. Mm-hmm. And so it's an experience. You got to get the ballpark food, all the stuff. And the Mets are just smoking the Pirates. It's, I think, 9-1 going into the seventh
inning. It was not even a medium a good game.
Yeah. So, well, if you're a Pittsburgh fan, it wasn't a good game. Yeah. So.
Well, I mean, even, I don't know. I just think that sometimes, like, the game can be a shutout. And I'm like, that doesn't necessarily mean it's a good game. You can enjoy the outcome, but.
Yeah. Regardless. So we're sitting there and it's getting to the seventh inning, and I can tell that Michael and Kelsey have started to lose the interest and they're
also
tired.
Also, for being August, July, it was July. It was fucking cold.
It was kind of chilly.
It was cold. We had to buy a blanket. It was also like sprinkling. It started sprinkling. We were having fun. We were not like not having fun. We got like not super expensive tickets. We were having a good time. Like, we ate the food. We had the drinks. We were like, okay, like, we've done this thing. Like, I've check it off the list. Like, okay, we did baseball.
Yeah.
Baseball done.
You didn't feel like you needed 9 innings to accomplish what you could do in one, basically.
We made it like 6 innings, I feel like.
Well, we stayed all the way through the seventh inning stretch because that was my thing. I'm like, let's just, you gotta stay, you gotta sing Take Me Out to the Ball Game, and then we can vominos. So we walk down, we take our pictures on the lower level on the way out, and then I don't remember what we were doing, but the next day Kelsey was like, what was the final score of the game? And I was like, let me look. Well, unbeknownst to us dumbasses, the Pittsburgh Pirates won for the first time in history on a walk-off grand slam in the bottom of the ninth to beat the Mets 10-9 or some shit like that. So we missed that. But I'm also a firm believer.
So funny.
I'm a firm believer that if we stayed, it wouldn't have happened.
Oh, absolutely. It wouldn't have happened if we stayed. Us leaving was, you're welcome, guys.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
But I love telling that story because I'm like, I
think about it all the time.
Yeah. It's a good memory. It's a core memory that we'll always have.
I don't even remember what we did when we left.
I think we just drove back.
And went to sleep. Good for us.
Yeah. So anyways, I don't know why we got on that topic with the stories, but I'm glad we did.
Yeah. Yes. Grey's Anatomy, kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah. We just talked about stories that we liked this season. What I did not love is, and maybe I'm wrong, but I don't remember if we ever find out what was making the McNeils sick.
No,
I don't think we ever do. And that is why? Like, tell us. I wish to know.
Yeah, if it...
Maybe I'm not remembering it. Maybe it will pop up, but I don't think it does.
I don't think so.
Yeah,
I don't think
so
it ever comes up.
That's kind of like, for as much buildup as they had, they could throw me a bone and just like tell me why those children kept getting so sick. Like, Frankie died. Like, tell us what's going on.
Throw me a freaking bone here.
Yeah. That's one thing that that storyline, it's kind of strange. We just, like, so rarely have patient storylines where the patients are continuing to be characters for, like, a multiple episode arcs. And so to have, like, two families congruently, like having them at the same time be over multiple episodes. Braden's parents really irked the shit out of me. I really liked the McNeils as a whole. I like thought they kind of portrayed them going through this like really hard time. I thought the way they wrote that storyline was very real and like made sense. And I'm like, yeah, I could see it going like that.
Yeah.
Brayden's parents pissed me off.
Yeah. Yeah.
I guess how you could get to that point of being like just so overwhelmed and like worried that, and like not understanding, but I don't know, just like, I'm glad at the way it ended. Like, I'm obviously glad that at the end they were like, they saved our son.
Yeah.
So like, we're gonna, it's fine.
Yeah. They were definitely annoying. And I will say, I do enjoy the way we every once in a while get these kind of longer storylines where every episode you're not loving and hating and falling out of caring about these people every episode. It's nice to have a little bit of an arc within these people. I do enjoy that.
Okay. So you enjoy the lengthy
every once patience. In a while, yeah. Every once in a while. It's nice.
Yeah.
It's because I think the beauty of it coming from my seat is you don't know where they're going with it.
Yeah.
How long will they be here? When you mm-hmm. get into this rut of, okay, well, there's a one-time payoff. Like, I'm still burned from that one time where they're like, I'm going to sue you, Addison. And then the payoff was nothing. The guy never came back. There was no suing. There was no consequences.
I mean, there may have been. I'm like, there has to be so many, like, medical malpractices that we, like, don't see that. Like, there's just no way these people aren't getting sued.
I'm sure that's true. I'm
sure.
They're
just not showing it.
Yeah. I did have a question for you that I asked if you could look it up. I'm mm-hmm. curious to see, like, Sandra Oh, for example, maybe Ellen Pompeo, maybe Patrick Dempsey. I almost just said Neil Patrick Harris. I always want to say Neil Patrick Harris. I'd like to know what their salaries were season 1 to season 10.
Okay, hang on one second. Because I'm going to have to kind of dig through to make sure I'm not, you know, getting to the more recent information, but to go back to the older information.
No, that's totally fine. And while you're looking that up, I think I don't know if this is true or not, but is it that Ellen Pompeo is the highest earning female TV star of all time? Something
I think
like
so.
That?
I know Shonda was the highest earning. Like, I think she may have just been the highest earning writer, but definitely the highest earning, like, female showrunner, writer, any of that stuff in television. And she likely is still very, like, I just don't know when you switch from, like, the TV, like, as your baseline to, like, the streaming internet. Like, I don't, like, that there might just be a shift where that kind of comes in. But there's a lot of really interesting conversations around Ellen Pompeo and Shonda Rhimes, and even I think there's one with the two of them together having a conversation about basically people being like, well, you have to like keep it a secret, you can't like be proud about it or like tell people, and they're like, fuck that, like that's no, we should, like, we worked really hard, we built this incredible like empire, basically, like why should that be something we're ashamed of?
Yeah.
So Those are out there. So if you're not Carmen, look those up. I'll see if I can find one and I'll screen it and see if it's spoily free.
Thanks.
So this article on Yahoo Entertainment says, now this is a more recent article, but it does kind of backdate a little bit. So this is saying that basically season 12, Ellen Pompeo started doing $575,000 per episode, which was around $20 million for the season, and a seven-figure signing bonus and 2 back-end equity points, which made her $6 to $7 million richer. Unclear what Pompeo's salary was before, but in 2007, there was a report that she made $200,000 per episode, which was season 2 or 3. And
Pompeo, that's significant.
Yeah. 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 It's not insignificant. That's for sure.
This is I know this is not good podcasting with the silence.
Yeah, so sorry. I'm reading.
I was also unsure.
Fill for time, Carmen.
No, well, I was hoping that you just would read it and hope, and hopefully no spoilers were going to come out, but I see where you're, she is to
okay,
be careful.
Okay, I am going to read this. This is
okay,
fine.
Okay.
So in 2017, Ellen Pompeo did an interview and she said that when Shonda said she was going to leave ABC for Netflix, Ellen Pompeo went to her and said, if you're moving to Netflix and you want the show to go down, I'm fine with that, like to end the show. And she said, but if you want it to continue, I need to be incentivized. I need to feel empowered and feel like have some ownership of the show. And Shonda said, I absolutely want to keep the show going. It's the mothership. So let's find a way to make you happy, which I think that's cool that she was like advocating for A, the show to continue, and B, for Ellen Pompeo to be appropriately compensated as like the, you know, tent pole of the franchise.
So I guess help remind me here, Calc. Did Shonda quit or was she fired?
She quit.
But she still owned the show.
Yeah. Well, so, she's still the creator. Like even now, right, it's still created by Shonda Rhimes. She just wasn't show running. She wasn't actively writing for it. I don't know how contract details work in different, you know, realms of Hollywood. Okay. But I imagine she was basically like, you guys are not, you guys being Disney, are not treating me well enough, which, I mean, relatable, right, Carm?
Yeah, we've been there. We've been there.
So
we are like, Shonda.
Yeah, so she's like, you can continue to have my shows, and you can continue to pay me buckets and buckets of money, and I'm going to go to Netflix, where I am I'm sure they have to be giving her way more budget, way more freedom. Those people can curse. Those people on her shows are naked all the fucking time.
Yeah, they're boning.
There's just like, there's just, she's got these stories to tell with basically like very little limitations, both like from a budget perspective, but also like what she's allowed to write and show perspective. So to me, it makes sense. It just like evolutionary wise, that like if you want to, you know, stay a really successful television writer and continue to write these really incredible, like hit after hit after hit shows for ABC, she could have done that, but she wanted to tell different stories. And so she found an avenue that allowed her to do that as well.
What's crazy is if Disney didn't screw it up, she probably could have stayed on and done it on Hulu,
mm-hmm.
like done yeah. it through Hulu.
Yeah, no, they fucked up. I hope that guy A, got fired, and B, loses sleep at night for not giving her a comp ticket.
What's his name?
I don't know. Some no-name person.
Yeah, but you like, know what? Give her, we're not even going to give that guy the dignity of his name going down in the annals of history. He's just some no-name scrub loser boy.
I just need to pause and update this because Michael just sent me a text from the other room. He bought a 2,000-piece puzzle, which Sick. Was an insane thing for him to do.
No, no, not insane.
And he just finished it, and there are 5 pieces missing.
No.
And he's pissed, which we knew there were at least 2 pieces missing early on. And I said, because it's Thomas Kincaid, and I don't know if you had this at WOD, but at Once Upon a Toy, we got Thomas Kincaid puzzles returned constantly for missing pieces. And they have apparently not great customer service, allegedly. You know, people would tell me they would like contact them and they'd be like, well, you can take it apart and ship it to us and you pay to ship it to us and then we'll send you a new one. And I'm like, so they would bring it back all the time and be like, oh, it was missing like 1 or 2 pieces. And I would constantly just be like, oh, well, like all... we can, you know, exchange it, but I can't guarantee you that that one won't also. So when he picked it out and he was like, I want this one, I was like, that's fine. But like, years of experience, my guy, I'm likely some pieces are missing.
What puzzle was it?
The one that he just did?
Yeah.
I'll send it to you.
Is it a Disney one?
Yeah.
Is it the one with all of, is it like this one?
No.
Oh. My friends have, they have 2 different Thomas Kincaid puzzles in their basement that they did and then framed.
Yeah. That's what he wanted to do with this. He was like, oh, we're going to frame this. And I was like, okay. And we were insane about this. Like, we made sure that, like, we never had, like, pieces on the floor for, like, kids to get or, like, the dogs to get. Like, we were crazy about, because we were like, if there are pieces missing, it will not be our fault. It will be this man's fault. It's not Thomas Kincaid. He's dead. It's the company's fault.
And I see two.
Mm-hmm.
And I see, I saw a third one.
There's one in the little Paris part and one in the little Irish part.
Oh, five. Yeah. Okay. Yep. Five. Mm-hmm. Yep. That sucks, dude.
Yeah.
Jess and I were just having this conversation of, we had a puzzle out on the table for, I don't know, like a week or
four
two.
4 years.
No. Yeah. And it was like a 50 piece puzzle. The pieces were size of my hand. It was crazy. So we had this Pokemon puzzle, but it's called a family puzzle. Have you heard of this?
No.
So there's a portion of the puzzle that is big pieces, and they progressively get smaller from one side to the next. So like at one point in the middle of the puzzle, there are these big pieces that two of them fit into, and they become, it was probably a 250 something piece puzzle, but there was a quarter or a half-ish of the puzzle that were the big pieces that Marla was helping with. And she's really good at puzzles, so she was doing the small ones with us. But we just kept it on our table, and we kind of just, it was a 500-piece puzzle, now that I think about it. And we just kept it on the table. And every night we would go, and we our ADD would kick in. We'd throw a couple pieces in, and it was nice. So that is kind of like, I think, going to be our thing. But it's so hard because of the fucking cat, dude.
Yeah.
And the cat can get up there and decide she wants to wreck everything, and we're just screwed.
Yeah, Jinx used to love to lay in the middle of a fucking puzzle.
Yeah, absolutely. So, but Thomas Kincaid puzzles. Okay, no idea.
Michael said he was going to buy another of the exact same puzzle and just pull out those five pieces. And I'm like, dude, do that.
Good luck.
It's 2,000 pieces.
Where did you guys buy it from?
I think maybe he got it at Target or Amazon.
I mean, you could just go to Target.
I know. That's why I said, I was like, we could exchange it. But I can't guarantee that. But I was like, and then we'll have to do it again.
You'll have to do the puzzle. Imagine you do the puzzle, the five exact same pieces
are
missing.
He did say the chance of both having the exact same missing pieces is slim.
Don't jinx it. Don't you jinx it.
Oh,
that is crazy. Yeah, I like puzzles. Puzzles are fun. I don't think I could ever be the type of person that does, you know, they have like all black puzzles.
No, it's just, that's not fun.
No, that's insane. That's someone who truly is a masochist.
I'm like, well, yeah, do you have joy in your life? I don't know. Or the puzzles where it's like there's no edge piece. Why? Why?
What does that look like? I don't think I've seen that.
They just, the outside puzzle pieces are also puzzle pieces.
No. You need some centering. You need a reference point
somewhere.
There's
like a Hercules one that Michael's like, I'm going to buy you this. And it's 10,000 pieces. And it's like 6 feet long. I'm like, stop. That is where would we even do that? He used to not really care for puzzles either way. And then last year, around Christmas, his mom had one out, and every time he would like have something get really frustrating at work, he would just go down and do it for like 5 minutes. And then he was like, I think I like puzzles. I think these help me relax. And I'm like, oh, I am all in on this because I fucking love puzzles.
Yeah, I'm a big fan. Also, fun fact, we started to watch Hercules the other night.
Oh, such a good movie.
And I'm sitting there, we're like, let's watch a new movie. And Jess is like, how about Hercules? I was like, okay, yeah, we haven't watched that. But are you sure? And she's like, yeah, like, what do you mean? I was like, no, no. And I look at Marlo and I go, are you sure? And Jess is like, oh, yeah, let's do it. We didn't make it 10 minutes into that movie before Jess said, no, we can't watch this. Yeah.
Because it's too scary.
Hades and the dead people, they're all in the ocean water underground.
Oh, my God. I cannot believe it has taken me this long to say this. We saw Hades Town in theaters. This is a musical. I don't even know if you know what Hades Town is.
I only know it from our boy, Nathan.
Oh, my God. It is so fucking good. So originally when they released it in theaters, it was only going to be in theaters for 5 days. So I told Michael like 2 weeks. I was like, I really want to go see this. Like, we've listened to the music. I've listened to it way more. He's listened to some of the music and he's always like, oh, yeah, that's nice. Like, I like this. Because Michael does enjoy a musical. And so I was like, I really want to go see this. Like, well, let's make sure, like, his parents watched the kids for us so we could go on Saturday because it was only going to be in theaters for 5 days. We got out of this showing and Michael looked at me and was like, if we did not have to go get the kids, we would be buying tickets for the showing in 30 minutes and watching this again. Like, it's wow. so fucking good. The, like, it won several Tonys the year that it premiered on Broadway, 2019. They got the original cast back together to do this pro shot. The lighting design, incredible. And it's, like, interesting to notice that, but, like, they shot it in a way where you can experience, like, so much of this show, even though it's, like, on your screen instead of, like, in the theater. Like, the camera work on this pro shot is insane. Like, it's so well done. It is genuine. Like, I kept turning to Michael and I was like, this is insanely well. Like, the musical's so
better
good,
than
also,
Hamilton's
it's
production?
Better than Hamilton.
Whoa.
It's better than, sorry, I'm not gonna say the musical is better than Hamilton right now. If I said it right now, I probably would say yes, but I'm like in it, right? It's like all I've been listening to for like 5 straight days. But the pro shot is absolutely better. Like, just
what's this about? Is it about Hades?
It is about the story of Hades and Persephone and the story of Orpheus and Eurydice. And they kind of happen like at the same time. And I don't want to give anything else away, but it's so good. The music is incredible. The show is just so well done. It's also on like a turntable similar to how Hamilton is, where like the parts of the stage rotates. Like, that's really cool. The lighting elements are amazing. Like,
so it's
out
of theaters now? Like, I can't go watch it? Or did they extend
it? Oh,
no.
In the 5 days that it was in theaters, it made more money than the first weekend that Hamilton was streaming on Disney Plus.
Whoa.
And so they were like, we're extending it. So it is still in theaters. So I cannot recommend it enough. If you like musicals, even the tiniest bit, you have to see it. Honestly, if you don't like musicals, but you like Greek mythology, if you have any appreciation for like stage shows in any way, like, you just, it's so good. They have not yet announced like where it's going to be released to stream. Surely they're going to release it somewhere. Like, I don't know. I think you can buy, like, pre-order it on either Prime or Apple TV. So like, potentially it will be on one of those, but it's not technically been announced anywhere for those things. But I just like cannot say enough. Like, we have literally not stopped listening to it. It's so fucking good. Like, it is so well done. The show is well done, but then like just the pro shot is so well done. It's incredible.
All right. Well, I'm going to have to check that out. I don't know if I'll have time to see it in theaters, unfortunately, but we're calling in a favor and Cindy's going to watch Marlo this weekend so that we can go see the new Spider-Man movie.
Yeah, I really need to do that too. I think we're going back up to Michael's brother's house. And I almost want to be like, you guys want to hang out with these kids so we can go watch the Spider-Man movie?
They'll probably say yes.
Yeah, they absolutely will.
So, yeah, anyways, back to the less important of the Hades. We being at 10 minutes in, and Marlo just is like, yeah, this is scary. And I said, I know
yeah,
that
the
this
Hydra
would be...
is actually pretty scary.
We didn't even
also.
Make it that far.
That's well into it. But that is also like, I also would be like, that's the part that would be concerning to me is like that part.
Yeah. Do you want to just like, let's say goodbye. Unless there's anything else you want to talk about. I could talk to you forever. I just hope. That we gave people some kind of content to listen to this week.
I do want to say we had, I think, a couple more people recently reach out, and we'll do another one of our like email message reading episodes at some point shortly. But I did have a couple other people reach out separately, like multiple people, and say like, again, because we talk a lot about therapy and then our specifically our experience and success with therapy, that they have like revisited or begin therapy. And I just want to say that really means a lot. And I'm also
hell
just
yeah.
like, if you're out there listening and you have like sought out therapy or like you're doing the work and like just trying to like improve your life, improve yourself, like I just send all my love to you. And I just like, we're all on these journeys.
We send our love
and,
to you.
Yeah, we're all on our journeys and, you know, we're doing our best and, you know, we got to look inward and kind of, you know, just recognize different stuff about ourselves. And, you know, we love that for everybody. And I totally understand that it is difficult for so many reasons. One of them being just the price point and the availability and That is unfortunate, and it should not be a hindrance to so many people. And if that is one of the things that's stopping you, I totally get that. We have been there. But if it is something that you have available to you, I encourage you to take advantage of that. I just wanted to mention that because we was like three people in like a week that had messaged separately and they were like, oh, just wanted to like it, in other things in the message that was also in there. So we're going to obviously continue to speak very highly of therapy. We both are enjoying our therapy journeys, and I know that some people have kind of start off rocky and then they kind of have to find the right therapist, and just know that if one person is not the right fit, it does not, please don't let that reflect the entire industry, because there can be people that are right for you that will be very helpful, and everyone just deserves to have that like extra support and outside guidance.
Yeah. I mean, I think I talked about this on the podcast. Like there was a therapist that I had that I think I spent a couple months with, and I was like, this just this isn't for me. And I took a year off, maybe almost a year, and had to get back into it. And like in that session, I was like, this is, you know, Renee is my girl. And
Renee gets it. Renee's doing her job.
Renee gets it.
She's earning her paychecks.
Man, she is. So yeah, I've had a couple people reach out to me as well directly. And we have a couple therapists who listen to the show and are part of the Patreon journey as well. So, you know, if there's anything that we could ever do, Kelsey and I, as soundboards for your journey, like shoot us a message. It's definitely okay. Either email her or at graysacademypod@gmail.com, or you can find me at carmen.gabriel.official. You can find her at chaotically Kelsey, and on Instagram, obviously. And yeah, just, I think there's going to be a point, I imagine, years from now, where this podcast is the number one podcast on the internet and we overtake Joe Rogan finally, because
someone should.
And it should be us. It should be the woke agenda taking over the Joe Rogan podcast. But, you know, at that point, we'll need to start having American flags upside down behind us, and we'll need to smoke cigars live on the podcast. But, yes, start. Oh, goodness. Stop the steal, am I right?
Oh, good God.
So, I don't remember where I was going with this, but there will be a point where this is the point. There will be a certain moment in time at which I don't know that we'll be able to respond to the messages in as quick of a message, quick as a fashion as we do. But I still, to this day, every new follower that I get on Instagram, I am messaging and I'm saying, hey, I see that, like, I see that you found us through the podcast. I'd love to stay in touch. I also have this question for you. Like, what's your favorite part? Like, tell me a little bit about what you know. And I really try to build those relationships. It means a lot to me. So I'm sure there's a point where that won't be able to happen, but right now is not that point. So
yes, right now we love hearing. I mean, we'll always love hearing from you, but right now, to your point, we're able to like see everything and consume everything. So we love that. And we love hearing from you, and you guys are the greatest. And I can't believe we did 10 seasons, 10 whole seasons. We're about to start the second decade of Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah.
And we're half a decade with Grey's Academy.
Yeah, that is nuts. And also Ted Lasso's coming back. So that's lots of good things.
I'm nervous, but I'm hopeful. I'm optimistic.
I'm not nervous at all. It just, and we get the content. We get more content of the show we want to consume.
It was so perfect. I just want it to stay perfect forever.
And
what
it will.
What a good show. God, what a good show.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to go watch Ted Lasso clips and fall asleep.
Same.
Thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you guys for all your support over the last 5 years. Or if you just found us, but you've listened to 5 years of content in 2 months, we love you. We love you all so much. You guys are great. Please just keep sharing us. Keep spreading the good word of Grey's Academy.
Spreading your seed.
And we hope everyone's having a great time. And we'll be back. We'll be back next week to start season 11. And just remember, if you see Carmen walking down the street,
no spoilies! We appreciate you all so much, and we'll see you all in the next one.